What an incredible God we serve. Amen. He is so good to us, and we just appreciate the opportunity that He's given us to come and worship Him today. We appreciate all of you for helping us during the time of worship, just honoring the Lord. How many of you know He deserves all the glory and all the praise and all the honor? And it's just amazing how God works out every detail in our life to see to it that we're right where we need to be at the right time. The Bible declares how good is a timely word or a word that comes in season. And how many know God wants to give us information? And that information is for us to take it and be obedient to that information. He said in the word, He said, be not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. So it's not just to make it sound good. You know, you can read scripture to yourself and make them sound good. But how many willing to follow them? Do what they say. And even when they say for us not to do something, how many willing to not do that? So these are important times in our life. It's a time for us to come and hear from the Lord. And we're just so thankful that He's good to us. We've been in this series for quite some time. And we're dealing with the words of Jesus, taking them in chronological order. From the time He was 12, every word He spoke. We've been looking at that. It takes some time. It takes time to look at all of them and break them down. And, of course, we're going to have to revisit some more of that because we can't do all of it broke down. It takes some time to do that. But we're touching some points that I think is important. We have to be led by His Spirit, and the Lord knows what needs to be done. So this morning, I'm going to skip over one part three. We're dealing with the Lord's Prayer. We're on that particular part, dealing with that particular area of Scripture where He was talking about our Father. And we went over all of those with you. I can't review it all. We broke it down into five different parts, and we went over part one, part two. And part three was supposed to be this morning, but I've been arrested in my spirit by the Lord to skip to four, and we'll go back to three. And it doesn't change everything that I'm going to say today I would have said if I'd have covered three. But maybe I need to take some more time on part three because it deals with give us this day our daily bread. Give us. Can you imagine talking to the Father, the Most High God, and you're saying give us? I think we need to think about that a little bit before we start to say that. There's some things there. So I'm going to go back over it, and I do have some scripture with that. But I want to skip down to the next part, and it talks about forgive us. Maybe we need to deal with that and then go back to give us. Huh? Well, we'll see. We're going to look at it today. But let's pray. I want everybody's attention this morning. I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to you. I'm going to relinquish anything, any ideas, any thoughts that I might have. I relinquish it all. Father, I thank You today for being so good to me. You're so mindful of me. God, even in my shortcomings, You've always been there to help me, to bring understanding to my life. You teach me through Your Word, Lord, to be quick to repent and do that which You called me to do. So I yield to the Holy Spirit. I yield to Your presence, the power and that anointing, God, that You give to those who follow Christ. So I yield right now everything, all my mind, my thoughts, my ideas. I yield to You and Your Word. Let the words be spoken here today not be my words, but those words that You have planted so deeply in my heart by the power of Your Spirit. God, if there's anything that I do say that's not from You, I pray it never lasts in the ears of those that hear it. It'll never take root, but it'll never misguide or misdirect anyone. I call those words to nothing. But Lord, Your Word that is truth, Your Word that brings life, Your Word that has spirit to it, I pray, God, those words, if they're spoken here today, we'll go forth and sink on good ground and bring forth fruit in the people's life here today. I thank You, Father, for all that You do. And I yield to the power of Your Spirit to speak every word that's necessary in this place to cause our lives to yield to Your Word, to make sound decisions, to make sure that we leave from this place not as we came, but closer to You. So we thank you for that, Lord. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise. Amen and amen. What a great God we serve. He is good to us. And he deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. And we ought to be lifting him up and thanking him for all that he does in our life. I want to say again, we appreciate you for being here this morning. We want to again take a closer look at these words that Jesus spoke. Remember what he said. He said, "These are not my words." So if he says that, think about that. If he says, "These are not my words," then whose words are they? They're not his. Now, he's the speaker. Remember that. There's no doubt about it. He's the speaker. But he says, "These are not my words." What is he talking about? He's letting us know that he has given everything, even his ability to put words together. He has given it all to the Spirit to allow the power of God to work through him to deliver the message that is right. How many know there's a lot of messages that are being delivered all around the world? But how many times have we really thought, is this my message? Is this what I'm thinking? Is this my thoughts? Is this what I feel? Am I really saying what God wants me to say? Am I really being the person that's yielded to the Spirit and doing what God wants me to do? We find that in Jesus. We find that in his life, that he yielded to that. Now, from time to time, you're going to hear me make a reference throughout the course of ministry this morning. You'll hear me say Yeshua, or you might hear me say Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, what does that mean? What is that? Some people say, well, I mean, I don't want to shock you, but I'm just using it in the Hebrew term. So if you want to know what Jesus, before we got that from the Greeks, what he was called was Yeshua. That was what he was called. His mother Mary didn't call him Jesus. She called him Yeshua. Joseph didn't call him Jesus. He called him Yeshua. And then if you hear the word Christ, right, we got that from the Greeks. But it's Mashiach. It's Messiah. Now, I'm not sure why there was a... Why would you translate something that's already Mashiach so we can understand it better? We give it an English twist or term called Messiah. But both all these terms mean the same thing. And this is stuff we got to be familiar with in our Bible. We got to be familiar with these terms, because when we look at this, this is important now. I want you to see this. This is a whole book. This is not, you don't get half of this. This is a whole book. And everything God does, he does in patterns and cyclical cycles. You see this all throughout the scripture. That way we can tell everything's in the patterns that God sets. Because the moment the pattern shifts, that's where you have to be careful. You have to put that into question. Because God, he doesn't change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're not looking for him to change. Folk going around saying, well, the Lord changed. He didn't change. We might change. We feel this way one day, and the next day we feel a different way, but he doesn't change. And so we have to know these terms. Now, you'll hear me make reference, because we, in our scripture, you'll hear me make a reference, and I might use the term Yahweh. I may use that term. What are my references? Well, in your Bible, you'll see it. It might be like this, the Lord. Might say the Lord in all capitals. And so it's amazing to me that we don't take the time to explain this to folks. So folks read their Bible, and if they're not careful in reading and studying correctly, every time they see the word Lord, because the translator has decided that sometimes when referencing the Most High, they'll capitalize them, and sometimes they won't. I don't know what's the reason behind that. Maybe they forgot. But it doesn't matter. Our job is to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, not to man, but unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed. That we rightly divide the Word of truth best we can. Does that mean we're gonna have it all perfect? Listen, we're imperfect people. We live in an imperfect world. That's why we have to have the Spirit of God to help us in our imperfection. And the only time you get it right is when you have fully followed Spirit. That's the only time. The moment I start following Jesse, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to say it wrong. I'm going to have the wrong attitude about it. I can assure you that's going to happen. And for the past 30 years of standing in this pulpit, I can tell you this. I've made many mistakes. Many times I misspoke. Many times I said things wrong. And in my mind, I was doing right. But it doesn't make no difference in my mind what happened. We have to go back and make corrections. One of the things I found that's important is we got to be willing to admit we've been wrong. And we live in a society today, they're not wrong about anything. Look at our government. Look at everything around us. People don't want to admit we've been wrong. We've said things wrong. We've acted wrong. We've treated people wrong. We have. And we have to be honest with that. And then we think, well, they done wrong. I can do wrong. And then wrong just keeps exploding and going everywhere. But I think it's important that we listen to the words of Jesus. We listen to the words of our Messiah. He was an incredible rabbi. And we're to follow his words. Now, he tells us right off the bat, these are not my words. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. How incredible that is. That meant everything he said, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit authored and they will bring life. They're spirit authored. How many want to be a witness where what you say is spirit authored? Listen, we can't think that good anyway. I know we think we can, but just because we can think don't make it right. We have to yield to the Spirit. And that's what I want to do today. And so I hope that this will be a blessing to you as we go through this dealing, because this is not an easy subject when we're talking about forgiveness. But let's look at it together. I have a few slides. We'll go through them. And we're on the Lord's Prayer, the fourth part of it. And this is the verse that we're going to cover. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One translation may say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right? So this is important, right? Because we're dealing with something that we have to participate in order to receive. How many see that? Forgive us as. Forgive us our debt as. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then the Most High will do what he's going to do. If I'm not, he's not. Yet, we have an expectation of him to do something that we're not willing to do. Wow. So we have to take some careful looks at this, right? So we want to do that. We want to make sure we look at this and understand. Now, remember, this is the words of Jesus speaking directly being led by the Spirit. And he says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Well, let's look at that. We'll take some time. This is going to take us some time to go through. This is a powerful verse and we want to understand it fully. And we'll see. Forgiving us as we forgive, which means that our forgiveness of others is measured of our own state of forgiveness. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Right? So King James says, whatever measure you measure out will be measured back to you. I want forgiveness for my transgressions. Remember, he said this is about believers, if you sin. Anybody fit that category? Huh? Right? So he would, you know, you can also put when you sin. How many understand? Maybe you can relate to it a little bit better. But he said, if you sin, you, talking about believers now, followers of Christ, you have an advocate with the Father. I mean, thank God for your advocate. The advocate is the one that goes on our behalf. He's also called a mediator, but he advocates for us. He says, listen, somebody advocating for you, they're going on your behalf. You have an advocate with the Father, and he is faithful. I mean, thank God he's faithful. And just to forgive you and I and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yet, I have a difficult time if somebody hurts me, says something, does something. tweets about me. You notice I say them words and that just kind of hits home with everybody. They Facebooked me or whatever. I don't know how you do whatever. Liked me. Unliked me. Friend me. Defriend me. And we get on a tear for a few days. And if you went back and traced everything while you was on your tear, that it affected a lot of other people around you. Yep, and then at night we go, Father, I need your forgiveness. And sometimes maybe we just need to hear. Somebody said, well, the Lord ain't told me anything. He's telling you right here. If you want to know what he's saying it right here. Because he don't change. Somebody said, I just need the Lord. If the Lord tells me to like him, I'll like him. It's the same. He got the same message time and time again. It's the same story. It's not going to change. So if you're waiting for God to break his word with some audible voice, I'd be careful on what voice you're hearing. Because you might hear something and think it's God, but if you go match what was said to the word of God and it doesn't line up, you'd have been hearing something else. And I've come across a lot of people heard something else. I've had people tell me, oh, I'm ready. I'm pastor. I'm ready. I always say, you sure? Are you sure? I remember I told my wife the first time we talked about this. We had just gotten married. I'd graduated high school and was going to go in five generations of commercial fishing. That's me. That's where I'm going. Got the boat. We're going. That's what I'm going to do. So we're married and we have no children and we're planning our future together and we're poor as could be. I mean, it was bad. I asked my dad if I can borrow some electricity. That's poor. Did I not? So I took an. He said, yeah. I mean, so I run an extension cord from where I lived to where he lived and plugged in. That's the light we had. It was rough. And then I'm sitting there in that condition, in that position. And the Lord says, I'll call you from your fishing vessel. And I go, okay. I'm hearing things. I got to make sure I can find that in Scripture. So I started reading the Bible and found some interesting people that were called from their fishing vessels. And I said, well, he can do it. He's done it before. You sure? But let me tell you something. When I answered the call that day, I never turned back. Never, not once. And I told the Lord, if you call me, that's what I'll do. When you return, I'll be doing the same thing. You got to know the Spirit. Now, I've had people tell me over these years, the Lord said. The Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. And they're not doing anything the Lord said. That's amazing to me. Now, when he told me, it's a done deal. It don't sense in my brain trying to work because my brain has to yield to what the Lord said. Has to. Well, I'm going to think this through. I'm going to go pray about it. You don't pray about what the Lord said. What you think, somehow or another, your prayer is going to change what he wrote? He's not changing. So people say, I'm going to pray about it. I know the Lord called me, but I'm going to pray about it. You're delaying. You're buying time. Till you yield, you're going opposite of what God wants you to do, and you can't do that. So he says to us that the measure you measure out will be measured back to you again. If we cling to resentment, bitterness, or desire for revenge, we appeal to principles that alienate us from reconciliation. And we have to be careful. And you ever notice that it's easier to cling to something that you don't have to put yourself out on? It's easier to cling to that. You don't even have to try to be bitter. That's been handed down from the garden. Do you understand that? We've been born into that. You don't have to teach children how to be bitter. You don't teach children how to do wrong. It's an automatic. What we do teach them is how to do right. We teach them, you know, you don't have to teach people. You ever wondered, say, I don't know where I got this unforgiveness from. I can tell you where you got it from. You were born with it. That's why we need a Savior. Do you understand that? If you weren't born, you say, well, I grew up and they taught me. Listen, we go across the world. We go in the jungles of Nepal. And we're just on the south, in India area, and we're there, and we're in this jungle, and the Thoreau tribe, listen, those people, they haven't been exposed to anything but the trees. How'd they get unforgiveness? So don't say, if I wouldn't be with him or her or what they did. We're passing it on. They did this to me. Sometimes you got to let that go and realize we're born into sin. That's why we need a Savior. We need to be saved from that condition, those ways, those thoughts, those ideas. We got to be saved. And you know, folks get saved and they think we can carry all that resentment and bitterness with us into our walk with God. And that's why our churches across the world are filled with people with the same condition. Doing the same thing we were doing before we come to be saved. But we're saved because we sing songs, we show up on Sunday, we wear the garment. Listen, you can go get you one of this from the men's warehouse. You think this makes me? You can buy one of these. You can look the part. But deep down inside, can you walk with your brother, your sister, no matter if they've done you wrong, and do what God called you to do? Deep down inside, could you say, you know what? It will never make a difference. I'm going to love no matter what because I can't get my mind wrapped around how much he loves me. Because nobody knows you better than you. We know when we failed. We know when we come up short. We know it. We might lie to ourselves, but we know when we did those things. Yet, I look up and there he is. I bow my head, there he is. No matter what, he's faithful to me, cares about me, loves me. There's no reason for us to act the way we act many times. If we think about how good he is to us, and all he says, do what I do to you. Do what I'm doing for you, do to others. Do that. You think, man, this is easy. This is so easy, we can do it. But boy, the moment it's like your mouth quits working. You know, man, amazing people can sing to God, but can't say I love you to their brother. He said, how is that possible? You know what he says in the Word? He says, don't tell me you love me. You haven't seen me. You see your brother every day and you can't love him? Are y'all here? I hope I didn't fall in the wrong place today. Listen, this is important for us. And I wouldn't be going over it. But if we intend to have God be our judge, the judge of others, we appeal to him to be our own judge as well. It's so much easier, though. Listen, when you're not on the other, when you're in the audience and the guy standing before the judge is up there, you're sitting there going, whew, he's in trouble. You know how he feels? If you switch places. That's it. You won't be so quick to say, let him have it.
That's right. Amen. That's so true.
Because we're there, you see. How many think we need to work on this?
Yes, we need to work on this.
We're dealing with the words of Jesus. And you'll see, I'm going to get to these scriptures in a minute because I'm going to give you word. I'm going to let you go home. You go and do your own research. You'll find these things to be true. The petitions function as a mirror of our heart. As we forgive others who have sinned against us, so we apprehend the forgiveness of the Lord. Or to put it the other way, our experience of forgiveness of the Lord is revealed in the way we treat others who have wronged us. Everybody in this place, there's not one that's in this place that you haven't been wronged by something or somebody. You've been wronged. You got to find out if you have learned to deal with that wrong and push it somewhere in a little corner and just go on, or you really have walked in unforgiveness. You got to figure that out. You really do. Because some people just learns to deal with it, but never really got over it. And it's only a matter of time. It's a matter of time where it pops up, and you got to deal with that. And I'm going to show you where all of this is dealt. It attaches itself to you, and it's the thing that brings on a person where they live in sickness. Their emotions are all out of whack. This is a fact. the facts. And I could give you article after article. As I was doing this study, I was reading these articles of these doctors who have said, you know, this is directly a result of you not being a forgiven person. Everything starts reacting inside of your body. How many know when you get angry, it's like explosions start happening on the inside of you, and it's not healthy. Do you know, how many understand that? It's not healthy. Because how many ever got you where your heart was so raced and you didn't know what your blood starts to go up? That's not a healthy place to be in. And we don't realize that these are areas that happen in our life often. And we have to be careful that we're taking the time necessary to deal with these situations. If we merely hear the truth but fail to practice it, we are like someone who looks at his face in a mirror but soon forget what they saw. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, I put this up there on the slide for you. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And that's what's happened. How many of you know we live in a society, it's just a delusion. It's amazing. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, and going away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So what does the word do? The word, at the moment you hear it, it's automatically. I'm going to tell you today, as I start reading the word, the scripture, automatically you're going to start seeing. And you're going to be able to say, that's me or that's him. Look at your neighbor sitting next to you, the one behind you, and say, I'm about to blame you. Because that's what we naturally want to do. Naturally, and then you won't even have to practice this. You won't have to study this. It's natural to blame somebody. Adam said, the woman you gave me. Somehow now it's God's like, it's my fault? Really? Now I'm the one. You know, if it wouldn't have been for you, God, you know, giving me, don't forget, I took her from you. I made her pretty. Gave all kind of shapes and curves and gave her back to you. So don't blame me. How many understand that? I figured, thank you, Lord. If we have an unforgiving spirit toward others, we will not be forgiven. Matthew 6:15. If we are judgmental toward them, we ourselves will be put on trial. We'll be put on trial. If we are cruel and unforgiving toward them, we will experience life as hellish, miserable, and mean. Some people say, well, you know what? I just got to go. I just got to move. If I don't move, I'm going to hurt somebody. When they move? When they move, they find out this. Wherever they move to, they want to hurt them too. If I don't get a different job, I just can't work with these people no more. Then they get a different job and they can't work with them either. At some point in life, you're going to have to stop and say, you know what? It's probably me. Because no matter where I go on this planet, no matter what job I got, where I live, who's my neighbor, I don't get along with anybody. That's a good indication. Very good. And why? Because there's something you never fixed. Listen, he didn't save you for you to live worse off than before you got saved. Listen, if you found, some people find more peace in the life they used to live than they find in church. And let me tell you, it's got to be the pastor's fault. There ain't no two ways about it. If he just preached better. It's got to be. You ever thought maybe that you haven't walked in what he said for us to walk in? You haven't done anything. You know, we have a Savior, but we're not letting him save us. He tells us what we need to do, but we're not doing it. Let me give you an example. And thank you, Lord. I wrestled with this and wrestled with it. And I said, God, I'm only going to say what you want, and I'm going to do what you want. How many's got a Bible? You have one here, home, wherever it is. How many know that there's the front of the book and the back of the book? And it's broke down for our understanding in two different complete books. We have what's called the Old Testament, which everybody knows that I'm not a fan of. I don't like to call it old. Because what happens, you don't fool with it no more. Right? But it's called Torah. Right? It's the scripture Jesus used, Paul used, Peter used. All the disciples, they didn't have. There was no New Testament written. None. It came later. Everything you see, that they used Torah. They used the scripture. Because how could they know he was coming? There was not. And the shepherds were in the field, keeping watch over the flock. There was no scripture for that. How'd they know it was the Messiah? Because of the Torah. They knew it. They was waiting for the Messiah. Here he comes. So keep that in mind. So I want you to think about this. In your head right now, everybody put your hand on your head. In your head, you got a left side and a right side of your brain. How many agree with that? And it's, for most part, it's detached from each other except for a small little part at the base. Think about that. Now, I want you to think about the Bible. We got a left side and a right side. Who would agree with that? It's called old and new. Right? The biggest mistake we've ever made in Christendom is to separate it. If I just separated your brain right now, right where you sit, you healthy, but we separated them, what would happen? Do you think everything would stay functioning like it is? Or would there be some dysfunction?
Yes. That's it.
If you separate this word, there's going to be dysfunction. Let me give it to you in the short, and you'll hear this in our Shavuot teaching coming up. Then there'll be Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's going to bring us in the Feast of Pentecost. We'll be coming up to that, and you'll hear it in detail. But let me just tell you this. If you say, I want spirit only, which is New Testament given to us in Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And then the church, or the birthing of the church, is what's said throughout all the teachings, is the launch of the church. Here we go, right? What happens with no Torah and just spirit? You get a society where it's nothing but emotions. Emotionalism kicks in. What happens if you got only Torah and no spirit? You have legalism. Is that helping you? But what if you put them both together like God did? Left side, right side. Some people are left brain people. Some people are right-brained people. How many's ever heard anything like that? If you studied anything, read any books, anything like that, any kind of, you understand these terms. You understand that. But you don't want to sever the connection. You sever the connection, you got problems. If you take this word, and I've been asking the Lord, you know, because I've been asking him about this, because he says, when you look into my glory, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. That was the prophetic word. You'll be instantly changed. And when you start looking at the glory of God and you see what God did. So we have some group says, we're not under the law. We're under grace. The grace of God. So the grace and the spirit, and they just run away and they have nothing to base on at all. You talk about the things of the Torah, and what is that? I remember I asked a question one time to a well-known speaker. I've known him for many years. I asked him a question about Torah. He said, I don't know. I've never read that. But if I asked him anything in the New Testament, he could have told me anything because he was well-versed in it. And I said, don't you think that's a problem for us? I don't know. I said, I think it is. This word has been designed to be a left and a right side. It's connected. We have to leave them connected. This is a whole book. You got to understand it like a whole book. If you gave me a book and you said, hey, would you read this book? I'm not going to start in the back or the middle. I'm going to start at the front page. And I'm going to see, because this thing is building, the entire thing. It's all patterns, it's all building, all the way to Revelation. And I got to how many would try to understand Revelation in one iota of understand if you never went back to Daniel? You'd be in trouble. What about if you never read Ezekiel? You'd be going, wow, what does this all this mean? You see, they're connected. And we need that. And that's how Jesus, when he taught, the words that came out of his mouth, you can tell. And that's why he said, the words that I give, they are spirit and life. Let me give you this, and then we'll go back to this next slide. He comes to the woman at the well. And they begin to talk. And he reveals to her what's going on. She's got some issues. But he ministers to her. And he talks about the water of life. He said, you drink of this well, you'll never thirst again. And then they got on the subject of religion. Because she said, some say worship in Jerusalem. Because that's religion. Some say we're going to worship on the mountain. So she, in essence, was asking, what say ye? What do you say? He said, well, listen. There's going to come a time when the true worshiper. How many want to fit in that category? Because we're something. We can call whatever we want today. We can put titles on our signs. We can call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. Some people say, I ain't calling myself anything for fear that we don't fit in any other group. Whatever you want to call yourself. He said, there's going to come a time, they that worship me. If you're going to give worship, you have to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Do you see him bringing them back together? So truth came from where? Torah. Spirit comes from where? New Testament. He said you got to do both of them or you'll never succeed in worshiping God. Is this helping anybody? You got to do both of them. They have to stay connected. You can't say, well, we don't even teach. We don't teach that. Oh, we don't teach. Listen, you can't pick and choose. Just go to the scripture and you'll, by the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to start understanding it. And the reason we don't, we're afraid of it. We're afraid. It changes traditions. It changes mindsets. It breaks down the middle wall of partition. Because remember, Jesus said, I'm going to destroy that. There'll be no, because what the Jews do, they, you know, it's just like this. I talk about Shavuot, right? And I was telling a friend of mine, I says, there, he said, we're going to be coming up. It's coming up, you know, Pentecost. Oh, you Jewish? I said, no, last I looked, I was born on the bayou. Unless they're Jews on the bayou, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they got Cajun Jews. I don't know. And so we laughed about it. I said, no. I said, but I said, let me ask you a question. Why do you ask that? Like, you're not the only one. This doesn't happen to me several times. I said, why do you ask? Because that's the only one. Christians don't do that. That's what he said. This is a non-believer. This is a non-believer. He said, Christians don't do that. And I started to think, we got some problems here. We got a real problem here. Because we got to separate. When Christ came to tear down the middle wall, when Christ came to rip the veil, all of that torn, and he said there's no longer Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. He said, now it's all back where. And so can you ask this question? Are we ready for his return? Can we really receive the Lord with all his division? And you know what divides us? Because we live with unforgiveness. We're not willing to sit down and listen to anybody else. It's the truth. How many's ever heard somebody speaking, and the moment they say something that you don't believe, you click them off? Oh, boy. They almost got on me. You can't listen to the whole thing? You don't trust that the Spirit guiding you is giving you an opportunity and a platform? Do you believe every single thing they say is wrong? But the first thing you hear, and then boom, they're out of there. Don't you think there's some truth and some understanding that we can get from each other? And why do we do that? Because what does that cause? Separation. And then the next guy, whoever they're associated, we separate. And whoever their associates is and their associates is, and now we have our group and their group. Let me see where this is going. And this is what Jesus dealt with. He dealt with it constantly. And it was all based upon, so you can call it God. You can call it, we're living by the law. We're living by it. And so that's what it means when it says that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. That word is pleroa. He came to fulfill it, means to complete. He completed it. He completely unveiled it, that this is what is going to happen. So it's not that we get rid of it. Remember that. There's power and strength in understanding it from cover to cover. How many would agree with that? So I encourage you, get your Bible and let this be a blessing to you. Let it minister to your life and let it bring understanding to you in its fullness. Now let's look at some more topics here dealing with this. I want to go to Matthew 6:15. It says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. If you don't forgive others, your Father won't forgive you your transgressions. How many see that that's clear? So don't go around and say, well, he might. No, he won't. If I don't forgive others, he won't forgive me. That's clear. So you can say, well, I feel forgiven. That doesn't change God. You can feel forgiven. But in my heart, I'm forgiven. Don't trust your heart. The Bible said, don't trust your heart. Why you don't trust your heart? Because it's deceitful above all else. You got to trust the word of God. You remember, it's our heart that led us in every direction we ever went. But when we got the direction of the Lord through Messiah, amen? How many thank God that he's given us a way out, and that's the Savior, amen? So think about that. This reciprocal principle of kingdom life appears throughout Jesus' teaching. As you forgive, you shall be forgiven. Matthew 6:14. As you judge, so shall you be judged. Matthew 7:2. As you show mercy, so shall you be shown mercy. Matthew 5:7. As you give to others, it will be given to you. Luke 6:38. So we see this reciprocal pattern going throughout his teaching. So you do it. As you do it, it's done back to you. As you do it, it's done back to you. Can we go around that? Can we circumvent it, go some of that direction? I don't see how you can. You can't do it. So then where does the blame go? We have to look at ourselves. Can you imagine everybody in this building, we look at ourselves and we say, you know what? I'm going to fix this. I know it's me. Can you imagine what will happen? Here's what we do. When they get right, I'll get right. Did you see that? Did he say that you could do that? He didn't say, as others get right, I'll get you right. No. He said, you forgive, and I'll forgive. How many understand that? Listen, I'm not making this up. It's in your Bible. Matthew 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand what? Praying. How many's ever prayed? How many prays on a daily basis? On a daily basis. So you have a habit of prayer. So you're praying. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. What's the first thing he says do? Forgive. Forgive. Who? Anybody. Because let me tell you, how many know that unforgiveness is a sure stopper of prayer? Because you don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying right now. Hey, just leave me alone. It's not the time. Yep, maybe I'm talking to the wrong group. I'm just telling. I know that's how I've been, right? Thank you, Lord. I'm preaching to myself. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry. Everybody loves that. You with me now, huh? I just pulled you back in. I mean, everybody was at a distance. I told my forgiveness, and I said, be angry. Hey, you got my attention now. At who? Which one? Be angry. That's what we read. We read, you read a verse today? Yep, be angry. Where's that? I don't know, but I know it says that. What's your favorite verse? Be angry. Well, let me finish it for you. And yet do not sin. How in the world is that possible? Well, we have an example. See, Jesus come in the temple. And he's there for a Passover. He's there for a feast, right? And they're in there. And what they do in Passover is they knew people were traveling from long distances. Some couldn't bring the animals with them. So they would set up shop, right? You've been to fairs and functions where people got to eat. When they go to festivals, they got to eat, so people set up shop and they sell stuff. So that's what they were doing, but they didn't set up shop outside. They put it right in the church, right in the church. So he walks in and he says, what are y'all doing? You know these people have need, and you jack the price up. And you know that they're going to be true to get their lamb, and you're charging them double the money. I mean, they're buying turtle doves. What are you doing? This is crazy. Because it wasn't the fact that they were just selling. They were thieves. Right? That's what he called them. They're thieves, a bunch of thieves. Maybe we have a little bit of that going on in the church world today. Right? So he goes in there, and the scripture says he was angry, but he sinned not. Well, that's easier said than done. How is that possible? How is it possible to be angry and sin not? Because this is what he says, Ephesians. He says, be angry and yet do not sin. How is that possible? Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. How many of you know the devil wants an opportunity? And he tells you what opportunity, one of the opportunities the devil takes is that you go to bed angry. Because to understand this anger, this anger is within the parameter of what we've been allowed to do, because he says, be angry. I mean, that's the command, be angry and not sin. Wow. But how many know there's some things that I've been angry about and I've not sinned? There's been things that I've been angry about and it was sin the moment I started being angry. Because some people get angry about stuff that's none of their business. Right? And we don't get angry about stuff that is our business. Now, what made Jesus angry? The fact that they were doing to the house of God what wasn't allowed to be done, and he was standing up for what was right. How many of you ever stood up for what was right and you felt angry about that? But then you also have to be careful that you, because how many know there's a line, and that line is the not sin line. And the moment you cross it, everything you did standing up for what's right, you just blew it. It's blown. But he would not cross that line. Now, I don't know that line. Some people say, how far is the line? Well, he had a cord. Some of you say, I'm liking this already. He had a cord. He turned tables over. Right? So understand that. Now again, he was Jesus, and you're not. So you got to be careful that you don't go past the do not sin line. Because there's a line, and you'll know it. And enough is enough. And if you're led by the Spirit, you can stand up and say, this is not right. And not go past that. And it takes some practice. Most of the time, you're probably going to go past it the first few times. And you know when you went past it. You know. Because all of a sudden, that feeling hits you right there. Boom. And you go, wow. That wasn't right. So you got to be careful not to pass that up. Is this helping anybody? So keep that in mind. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Will not. Will not. Matters what we think. Will not. So you may be here right now. There's no maybe about it. There's no doubt in my mind. The Lord, as I was going through this, and I had all this from last Sunday, and I said, well, I got part three to do, and I'll start that this morning, and then I have part four, and then I got part five. It's a neat slide. I said, you know, Lord, we're not going to, we got to speed up. And I said this, I said, Lord, that's what I'll do. I said, we'll get three done, we'll go right through that, get on four, and I could not be released. He said, we got to cover that. There's a reason for it. I believe that sitting in this house, we needed to hear this today. We needed to hear it because we got to work on these areas if we expect to get any closer to God, if we expect to have a move of God, anything like. Brother Troy dealt with healing on Thursday. Healing don't come if you got unforgiveness. Do you understand that? That's one of the biggest blockers from being healed, because we serve the healer. He don't just save us, he heals us. How many understand that? We're healed. We're under different covenant. When you cross the threshold covenant and you get in covenant with God, you're underneath His command, His rule, and you're underneath that His health plan. And the only reason the enemy can come in is because we give him opportunity. Remember what he said? Don't give the devil opportunity. And what happens is when we're angry and we sin, we're giving the devil opportunity. And that's what he'll do. He'll slip right in. And he'll do whatever he wants to do. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. How many know that being kind to one another is something you got to practice? It's true. We got to practice these things. Just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. This is important. Very important. Let me tell you. This is a value. Value. Now, listen, let me just tell you this. When my daughter, I'm about to tell on both of them right there. When my daughter and Trayshawn were dating, well, they were doing it against our approval. Now, there was a lot of stuff said and done. But my daughter knew my heart. And I ain't going to give my relation up for my daughter, my son, nor my wife. You understand? I'm sold out to the Lord. And so I knew, so I questioned myself, am I really acting that way? And I said, and I went to the Lord, I prayed daily about it. I said, God, I'm never going to go and put you in that position. It doesn't make a difference. So in their minds, they had no, they was, especially Trayshawn, he had no idea where my brain was. Because when I should have choked him, I wasn't. Right? Was that true or not? I'm not going to. I don't care. And so, it come a time where they had to sit down. We had to sit down. They come to Jesus meeting. Remember that meeting? And so they're sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and so I just want to say I'm sorry. And listen, I'm not going to act different. That's the same way. Because what I stood on was the Word. You can take that however you want, you see. You can take it that I have a feeling against somebody. I stood on the Word. Wrong's wrong. If you live in sin, it's sin. I don't care if it's mine or yours or anybody else. And I told them that is wrong. You can be mine. Mine don't qualify you. Do you understand that? Never qualify. What I was standing on was the Word. And so, is there hugs and kisses if you're breaking the laws of God? High fives? Who are you high-fiving? Amen. Jesus didn't go in the temple and says, all right, that's the way to stick it to them right there. Double the price on them lambs. That's the way you do it. He didn't do that. Did he hate them? He didn't hate them because a few days later he died on a cross for them. Do you get what I'm saying? He loved them. That's why he went. So he was mad about what they were doing, but he wouldn't cross the line. Because he knew I'm about to lay down my life for you. I'm turning the table over today, but I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to drain every ounce of blood out my body and make sure that you're covered. Because that's how much, but at the time, you don't understand that. You can't get that. That's what the love of Christ does to a person. It changes everything on the inside of your brain. Don't work the same way no more. Because see, we want him to save us. We just want to call ourselves safe. We don't want to go to the place that everybody calls bad. We want to go to the place that everybody calls good. But that's not what you got saved for. He saved you so you can be a beacon, a light, somebody that won't be ashamed to stand up and say, you know what? This is what God did in my life. I was wrong. I was wretched. And if it wouldn't be for his grace, I'd do it again and again and again. But thanks be to God that he changed me. You got to forgive. You got to forgive. You've been forgiven. And I was willing to do that. And you have to do that. And let me tell you, that's what God wants for us. He wants that. Somebody said, you know, people, let me tell you some of the things that I know people say and think and when I'm not there. You'd be shocked. I come and tell you exactly what you're thinking. But people think, you know what, pastor's a little soft. You know, he don't say this. He should say this. And you tell that to your spouse. And you tell it to another person in the church. You have no idea. When you want to say something and the Holy Spirit says, shh, you keep your mouth shut. You don't say that, because I can say a lot of stuff. I can say so much stuff today, I would embarrass most of you. But I'm not here to do that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a guy saved by the grace, the same grace that he saved you by. But I'm the messenger. I just happen to be the messenger today. So I'm going to tell you, you can hate the messenger, but you got to love the message. The message is what counts. You don't have to like me, but the message, it has to resonate. No matter where you go on this planet, the message won't change. Messengers can come and go. Listen, I can die tomorrow, but the message will go on because it's the truth of the Word of God. And this is important to us. And we have to understand these values. They're important to our lives and to our children's life. Listen, there's some people that you know, you work around, you love them. But there's some things inside of you that there's just something about it. All of a sudden there's this clash. And we try to get over it by saying funny things. Well, let me tell you, I realize some things just ain't funny no more. We don't want to hear a wisecrack or some joke. Deep down inside, you're mad. And we try to cover it up with something funny or something. That's not the way it goes. You want to be healed? We can get that all. We can line you up, pray for you every service. You want healing? Forgive. You got to walk in it every day. Let me tell you, somebody says, I'm over them. I'm over them. You meet them in the store and you go down the other aisle. You're not over them. You don't even want to rub buggies with them. You're not. And that's how you have an indicator. You know what Proverbs says? Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. If that's ever happened to you, that's a sure sign that I'll be glad to see when they get theirs. And that's what people want. They want to see somebody hurt. They want to see somebody get theirs. That's not how we should be. That shouldn't be our heart. It shouldn't be. You know, they did everything they did. And let me tell you, Roman soldiers, they were brutal. They were the most brutal pack of soldiers. I mean, these guys were terrible. If you ever go study the history of Roman soldiers, these guys were brutal. And they did a lot of bad things to Jesus. A lot of bad things. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing to the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Forgive them. That's what he said. Think about that. He didn't want to see them get hurt. He didn't say, one of these days, they're going to get theirs. He didn't say that. He said, forgive them. Forgive them. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Huh? Let me tell you, what do you do for justification? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can't do anything to be justified. Justification was by the grace of God. If it wouldn't have been for the grace of God on humanity, every single person would be lost. You can't do anything for justification. But sanctification, we play a big role in that. We look at the scripture and we change our lives according. That's how you can also use the word holiness there. We start changing and living like the Word says we should live. We start acting like the Word says we should act. If you're in the world and you're not saved, you know what? If you don't want to forgive, just add it to one of the other lists of all the other sins that we're involved in. That so be it. Who cares? But serving God, that list needs to shrink up, and it needs to shrink up dramatically. You ever wondered? And I asked the Lord this. You ever wondered? Listen, we were singing a moment ago. We was worshiping. How many felt you could just, there was something about our worship, right? We haven't even come close. You know why? There's no joy. You know why you can't have joy? Unforgiveness. We want the fruits of sin and the fruits of righteousness, and they want to put them all in the same basket, and we think, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. How many's ever had we have a basket in our calendar. We have a basket. And in that basket is snacks, what we call snacks. We have bananas, apples. And then we get these little, I got these, this, my wife got me this graze. It's called graze. I like the graze. And so we come across that graze, and it's little snacks. But the snacks are packaged in manageable. See, I can graze above my brain telling me to quit, right? And so these are packed, prepackaged. So in a boat, when I go out, I'm fishing, she'll put a couple packs in there. They're portioned. Little lid. How many know what I'm talking about? You've seen that? You can order. So I got that, and that's all in there, and there's lemons and apples, and it's all stacked on top of each other. So the other day, I was like, man, these bugs, they got these bugs, Charlotte. She said, that's fruit flies. Where they come from? I said, ooh, I bet you. So I started taking some of the stuff out that basket, and there it was. There was a lemon in there that didn't look like a lemon. And everything it was touching, it started to infect. You ever heard the statement? One bad apple. Huh? Just one. So you can't have it both ways. Fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of unforgiveness. Which one you want? There's no joy. How many know that he said the joy that I give, because joy is a given thing. It's given. It's a realization of where you were and where you are now and where you're going to be. That brings joy. It's given to you by understanding that concept. Where I was in sin, in the muck and mire. Couldn't get myself out. There was no way I could save myself. But Jesus saved me by his grace. And here I am now, I'm saved. Now I have a future and a hope and an expected end in the kingdom of God. How many thank God for that? That brings joy. I mean, that just brings joy. But what happens is we'd rather be mad and then have joy. And sometimes I want to fix it. Charlotte can tell you, I've been doing this for 30 years. And I sit with her and I say, you know, what else can we do? What's going on? What's happening? And we think we can fix it. I can't fix you. I'm going to tell you, I can't fix you. I'm not your source. I can't fix you. I can only give you the word. You do whatever you want with it. But the joy has to come, and it can't come as long as there's unforgiveness. It's never going to happen. And this is my fix. Maybe we need to, you know, we tune the lights down. You know, we can make a nice presentation, whatever it is. You can do everything you want. Nothing fixes it until you go to God and say, well, I'm dealing with this. It's me. If every person in here said it's me, we'd all walk out different people. Everyone. And we'd have a respect and a love and a compassion for one another, and your situation and your needs, it automatically becomes mine. And I'll pray for you as hard as I pray for my situation. Your crisis is going to be my crisis. And I'm going to pray that away. Because let me tell you, when it happens to you, ain't nobody going to pray harder when you're dealing with it. We should be doing that for each other. Each other with a compassion and a love and a respect. That's so important. If something happened to somebody, and it's easy. It's easy if something happens. One of a brother, some sister falls snare to something. It's easy for somebody else in here to say, well, you know, if it would be me, one thing you got to remember, I'm not you. And it's not you. You want to take this position? By all means. But with it comes a responsibility that you can't do what you want. You can't do what you think. You got to do what God said. You got to be careful. And so somebody said, well, when I. Just let's say I'm going to forgive. Walk in it and watch what happens. Let me show you this verse right here. It's very powerful. Very powerful. James 1, 19 through 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. Quick to hear. Slow to speak and slow to anger. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. How many see that? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And what's our goal as believers? What's our goal today? We want to achieve the righteousness of God. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Don't you want to achieve the righteousness of God? But I'm going to tell you that the anger of man, you're never going to achieve that, ever. You won't do it. And we think, you know, this is one of the dangerous things. We don't get in a habit where you put on church. You come and we put on church, but then wherever we go, wherever else we are, we don't do that. We're not standing for anything. We blend everywhere we go. Wherever we go, we change colors. That can never work in the kingdom of God. And don't you know, I want you to know, all of us, we're being checked right now whether we're fit for the kingdom. Every one of us. If you didn't know it, you say, well, I just want to be saved and get there. I'm going to be done. You're being checked whether or not you're even fit for the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, you're not just going to kind of be hanging around doing nothing. In the kingdom, you're going to be a very viable source, resource to what's going on as we have our Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen? He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to be working with him. And right now, and Peter puts it this way, he says, don't you know that you should be that we are a kingdom of priests? You're a royal priesthood, a chosen people. We've chosen, and we should be acting in that way right now. And so when we step into the kingdom, it's not something brand new. That's why we have to live by faith that is actively going on in our life right now. We have the Spirit. There's not going to be a different Spirit that comes. We have the Spirit to teach us and to give us the direction that we need in this area. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice that he says you have to put this on. Who's he talking to? Those who have been chosen. So we think we're chosen because we're special, we're somebody. No, we're chosen because we're broken and we need a Savior, and without him we're going to be lost. That's why it says after you've been chosen, put on these things, because you don't come with them. We didn't come with these attributes. Listen, we didn't come with understanding. We were following ourselves and we got us lost. We were lost and undone. That's why it says, you that are chosen, put on these things. Is this helping you? So he says, put on a heart of compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on gentleness and patience. Bearing with one another. How many of you know we got to bear with one another? How many understands what that means, to bear with one another? Because people's going to be a burden sometimes. I'm a burden. My wife's been bearing with me for 30 years. Just the other day, I was thinking about my wife. And I said, you know what? I got an incredible wife. And I'm trying to change. You know, I drink off my glass and I set it there. And I started thinking about that. I said, well, is my hands broke? Am I in a cast or something? I eat out my plate and I set it there. I'm like, she's been washing my plate for 30 years. I mean, I might have done the dishes occasionally, but I'm not in the habit of doing that. Well, some would say, well, yeah, but she don't go cut the grass. Who cares about the grass? What does that have to do with it? That conviction came to me. I can rationalize it. I can. You can too. Keep playing that away. You can get yourself where you're the best. You're the best. I'll tell you what. I'm sitting down. You might as well come up here right now, because there ain't nobody better than you. That's how you can get yourself to think. But the reality is, you know what? We got to think about these things, because I'm praying for change. I want to get closer to the Lord. I'm asking God for more understanding, more instruction in the Word. I'm asking him for these things. And then I'm standing here and I say, you know what? I'm going to change. Just a little change. So my wife, she asked me, she says, what you doing? I said, well, I drank out this glass. And I figured I drank out of it. I walked to the thing. I could set it here. And about as much time as it took me to set it, I could turn the hot water on and rinse it out. And that's done. So I put it on the side. So then last night she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I ate on this plate. And it's not even hardly dirty. I mean, I just go in. She said, well, give it to me. I said, well, I got it. I said, I'm doing this. And that's the first time I let her know. But I think she picked it up that I was like, what is it? Check that boy's temperature. Something wrong with that boy. She had to notice because it's the way it is. I said, no, what we should do, this is what we should do. If we individually independent, because sometimes I snack. Most of the time, I snack. Anyway, what does that mean? That means we had supper. Supper's already done. Now, if we had supper, everybody's together, you would do everything together, right? Because I might be cooking, and we just do it. But if I'm snacking, and everything's already been done, and then you get up, and you go, there's a glass and a bowl here. You know, I put some yogurt in a bowl. I could just rinse. And these are important principles. How many know God wants us to change? That's how you know that you're walking in unforgiveness, because you'll start realizing those things. Until then, you won't even realize those little things, and you won't be willing to change about anything. You'll keep talking the way you talk, acting the way you act, saying the things you say, and you say, I'm forgiven. If there's no change, that's a clear indication you still have unforgiveness. You can call it, I'm over them. Just wait until the situation comes up, and you'll figure out you're not. But if you start seeing change where you're feeling convicted about certain, you figured out something. Because what happens? Why do you make change? Closer to God. How can you get closer to God? Walk in unforgiveness. The closer you get to God, no flesh glories in his presence. You don't want to take credit for nothing. You're going to keep getting closer, and you're going to see that changes start happening all around. And you'll see this throughout the scripture. And this is important, valuable to us. So, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should you. You have to do it the same. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Anyone who you forgive, I also forgive indeed what I have forgiven. If I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be with outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his design. How many know that the design is to bring separation? And you don't realize how separate you are in one group. You can this is everywhere. Everything operates in groups. And it's a family. A family is a group. Whoever you are, on a job, there's a group, there's a team. Whether you're in school, whatever it is, playing sports, everything operates. And you don't realize how divided that group could be. And how you could be getting outwitted by the situation or circumstance. Church is a group. And it all has to do with somebody walking in unforgiveness or something towards somebody else. And it affects. And you never know how effective how it's going to affect until it's a critical time. At a moment where it's critical. Very important. Now, there's been people throughout the years, maybe people has done things. I mean, you know, we grew up, and you grew up on the bayou, there's people I know hold grudges for years, right? Maybe that don't happen in your community, but I know from my community, it for years, that people, I mean, I'm not talking about 2 years. I'm talking about for years. There's people we know don't talk to their own children for years. People that, you know, parents die, they won't even go to the funeral. And you go, wow, that's crazy, right? Because that's what happened, see? You've been outwitted by Satan. The very thing that he puts you in that brings us wholeness, brings peace to our lives, as families, being in that group or in that team, you could be outwitted by Satan and be robbed from that very thing and not even realizing it, how much division there is there. And can you imagine the success you would have if every person in there says, you know what, let's all pull together and do what we need to do. Same thing in church. Let's all pull together and watch what happens as we are witness to our community. This is very important. Listen, let me just tell you this. Thank you, Lord. If you're out there and somebody's saying something about Tyreek and Brandon hears it, Tyreek's not there, but it's as if he's there because of the representation of a brother. Do you get my point? So what if he's not there? He's there. He's standing up for his brother and say, hey, we shouldn't do that. The bad thing is, if he has unforgiveness, he'll join those who are saying that, but come here and call him his brother. So if they're working together at anything, there's always going to be this gap, this break. And so their success that they could have reached without that is being lost, and it's being lost on a daily basis in many people's life. We shouldn't let that happen. Let's forgive. You know, if you ask people on the service, hey, you want to be in the kingdom and live with the Lord forever? Absolutely. The scripture says you're not going if you don't forgive. You're just not going. Well, I'm going. I'm going. My preacher says I'm going. Well, your preacher's wrong, too. Because your preacher don't trump God. I don't trump God. The word said, I just read it to you, you will not enter. You will not see the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. You mean just for being mad at somebody? Well, get over it. You don't have to. I know it. Let me tell you, mad makes you feel good. It does. I mean, you're feeling like, I got one up on them now. Or if you see somebody who you dislike and they take a fall, they had it coming. Yep. They had it coming. Don't like it so much. It's not the heart of God. Let me tell you. Jesus is at the Last Supper. And there's a guy named Judas there. And he knew what he was going to do. There's a guy named Peter there. He knew what he was going to do. Did he treat him any different? He just told him, whatever you're going to do, do it quick. But it didn't change his heart to do what he needed to do. He stayed within the boundary, in the perimeter, to accomplish what God had put him there for. That's what we should be doing, every one of us. And the way you do that is you forgive ahead of time. Forgive them. Forgive them. And this is important to all of us to operate in there. Remember, we're dealing with this one verse. This is one verse Jesus says when he's teaching them how to pray. Forgive. And this one verse, there's so much that can be said about it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Let's listen, and I think we'll close with this section here. There's a few verses. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And it's his own thoughts. Because we all can have our own thoughts. Every one of us. We can have our own ideas. That don't mean they're right, but we can have them. That's what we've been given a brain for. We can deduce. We can deduct. Thank you, Lord. You give us the ability to have a free will. We can deduce and deduct. We can reason. How many know that work? That works in you? Everybody's used that today. Every one of you used that capacity that's been given to you. That's yours. It's given to you. You deduce, deduct, you reason, all those things. And it's all encapsulated in your soul, the mind, will, and emotion. And here we are. And so you're operating in that. But watch this. Peter says, as many as seven times. Because in his mind already, he's already preset something. As many as, to me, seven times is enough. Jesus said to him. How many know it's important what Jesus said? That's what we've been doing, understanding the words of Jesus. I do not say to you seven times. Because this question was really a question of enforcing. He wanted to enforce. I'm saying seven, you should say seven. I do not say seven times. But 77 times. Think about that. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle an account with his servant. So he's going to explain this. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees and imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of the pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. gave him. What did he do? He fell on his knees and said, "Have mercy on me." And he pitied him. He thought, this is genuine. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is, compared to the talents in the denarii, is no comparison, right? So one owes, let me give you a comparison. One owes $10,000 and the other owes $10. How many see that it's easier if somebody owed you $10,000 and somebody owed you $10, it's easier for you to forgive. Oh, it's $10, you know. It's on me. You ain't saying on me for $10,000. You want your money.